everyone. And I will say Happy Christmas today. I think we can say Happy Christmas now, that we're almost there. Very exciting. Welcome to our service this morning. Welcome to our time of worshipping God together. We've got some notices, so there are a few. So first of all, don't forget, we've got our carol service this evening, carols by Fairy Light. And tomorrow morning we have our Christmas Day celebration. Neither of those services will be live streamed. So if you want to see them, you do need to be here in person. So that's those two services. There won't be a Sunday evening prayer Zoom meeting this evening or next week. For this evening, I don't know if any of you are coming, but Chris Butler needs to get to church here for 5:45. Is there anyone, please, who can assist him to walk so that they can walk with him or give him a lift here in order to be here for 5:45 this evening? If you can help with that, please see Chris or David Baslington. That would be great. Thank you. Chris would be very pleased if you can help him with that. Just another reminder about our prayer week, Tuesday the 2nd to Friday the 5th of January. If you are able to come to any of the sessions, it's helpful for us if you can sign up on the sheet that is in the lounge. But don't feel that you can't come if you haven't signed up. And we do hope that everybody will come to at least one of our sessions. One other notice is that you will have seen in the link to save the date for Alan and Megan, our BMS missionaries, coming on the 14th of January. We have now been able to confirm the time that they will come. They are at another church at lunchtime. So they will be here for tea and cake at 4:30. So if you make a note of that time, 4:30, meet Alan and Megan, hear about their work, and have tea and cake as well. That will be great. We're going to light our Advent candles now, and I've asked Bismarck's family to come up and to light the candles. Okay, so four candles, not the one in the middle. As we light these candles, we praise you, O Lord our God, for giving us every spiritual blessing through your beloved Son. Enlighten our hearts and minds that we may shine as lights in this dark world to the praise of your glorious grace. Say together, may the wisdom of the wonderful counselor direct us, the strength of the mighty God protect us, the love of the everlasting Father embrace us. The peace of the Prince of Peace surround us. Amen. Thank you, Lawrence.
Shall we stand together and worship? Let us stand.
I'm sure there'll be some words up here. Here they are.
Right.
Thank you.
pray. Father, we thank you that amidst this busy period, as we prepare for tomorrow, that as we worship you this morning, you would draw close to us. We pray that you will make your presence felt in each of our lives, in each of our hearts today. Amen. We can enjoy ourselves with this one. Permission to clap, dance, anything else forbidden. To put you off, but you kept going, which is great. Did you enjoy it? Good, so did I. And I think we can enjoy ourselves at Christmas, can't we?
They're not sure.
Not only, but you know what I mean, Spencer. Yes, yes. 365 days of the year. Amen. Please be seated.
Okay, so as you have been approaching Christmas, I'm sure that you have been all really, really busy and you've got lots and lots of things in your head and you're trying to keep all those things balanced. I'm not going to put any more stress on you, but we're going to have a little quiz just to get your brains working properly. And what we're going to do is we're going to divide the church into two. So, right, I'm going to split the family there in half, but we're going to divide down the middle there. We've got team one and team two. Okay. And there is a prize for the winning team. Okay. So, first question, team one. This is team one over here. Which of the Gospels tell the story of the Nativity? Shout out if you know. Luke and Matthew. Thank you. Luke and Matthew. Matthew and Luke. Team two. Where did Mary and Joseph live before Jesus was born? Nazareth. Oh, they all knew that one. Nazareth. Right. Team one. What was the name of the angel that told? I don't know if that should be that or who. But anyway, what was the name of the Jesus? No. Not the name. What? I'll start again. See, my brain, obviously, is not quite with it yet. But maybe by the end of the quiz. What was the name of the angel that told Mary she would have a child? Yes. Gabriel, yes, well done. Team two, what was the name of Mary's cousin who also had a surprising pregnancy? Yes, Elizabeth. Okay, now team one, what happened to Zechariah when he was visited by an angel? Struck dumb, very good. You're very good at this. This means that you have been listening to the sermons that we have had during Advent. So well done. Okay, what did Joseph do for a living? Team two.
Carpenter.
He was a carpenter. Team one, how did God speak to Joseph? In a dream. An angel spoke to him in a dream. Team two, why did Mary and Joseph leave to go to Bethlehem? The census. They had to register in their hometown because of the census. Yes, well done. Team one, how did Mary and Joseph travel to Bethlehem? A donkey. The Bible doesn't say. So maybe they went on a donkey, maybe they walked, maybe they went in a helicopter. No. Okay, team two. Where does the Bible say that Jesus was born? In a stable, in hay, in a manger? In a manger. There is no mention of a stable. Okay, moving on. Team one, how many angels told the shepherds that Jesus had been born? One. One angel told the shepherds that Jesus had been born, and then there was a multitude of angels who were praising God. Team two, how many wise men visited baby Jesus? The Bible doesn't tell us. Yeah. Okay, team one, what gifts did the wise men bring for Jesus? Well, look, they're a bit anxious now because they think this might be another trick question. Okay, yes. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Well done, yes. Now, team two, where did Jesus' family flee to from Bethlehem? Egypt, well done. Now, this is the last question. Team one, who spread the news about baby Jesus throughout Bethlehem? Shepherds, yes. And we're going to be hearing about that in a little while. Now, according to my calculations, you had more questions than you did. But you got two wrong and you only got one wrong. So I think that means that it is a draw, Which is very good, because the prize is that when you go out for coffee afterwards, you will get a mince pie with your coffee. And you will get a mince pie whether you were in the winning team or not. So that's fantastic. The children are going to leave us in a moment, but before they do, let's just pray a blessing upon them. So, Father God, we thank you for these children. We thank you for the people that they are, for the people that they will become. And we thank you for the families that they represent. And Father, we pray that as they go out today to hear more about you and to have fun, we pray that you will bless them with your presence and your joy and surround them with your love. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to continue in prayer. So I'm going to pray, and as we pray, there is a bit of a response that I would like you to join in with. When I pray, Lord, you call us to respond to their need. Will you pray, help us to reach out in love? Let's just try that. Lord, you call us to respond to their need. Help us to reach out in love. Loving God, accept our glad thanksgiving for all that you have given us, and hear now our prayers for your world. We pray for those for whom there is no celebration, the poor and the hungry, the homeless and the sick, the lonely and the bereaved, the oppressed and the persecuted. Lord, you call us to respond to their need. Help us to reach out in love. We pray for all those whose celebration is marred by fear, those who are anxious for themselves or for a loved one, those who see no hope in the future, or who live under the constant threat of danger. Lord, you call us to respond to their need. Help us to reach out in love. We pray for all who wrestle with grief, those whose lives have been broken by tragedy, who live each day in perpetual shadow, crushed by the burden of sorrow. Lord, you call us to respond to their need. Help us to reach out in love. We pray for all who feel isolated, those who feel unloved, unwanted, who find it hard to show love towards others, or whose relationships have been broken by cruelty, discord, division. Lord, you call us to respond to their need. Help us to reach out in love. Loving God, may your light reach into the darkest places of the world, so that there may be hope rather than despair, joy rather than sorrow, and love rather than hatred. Come now to our world through Jesus Christ to bring good news to the poor, release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and to let the oppressed go free. Lord, you call us to respond to their need. Help us to reach out in love. Gracious God, just as you came to our world in Christ, help us now to go out for you, to proclaim his word, share his love, and work for his kingdom. Help us to live in him and for him and through him until that day when he comes again and you are all in all. Amen.
Shall we stand together?
Thank you.
Please be seated.
The reading will be Luke 2, 8 to 20, and page 1027 in the Church Bible. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David a Saviour has been born. Born to you, he is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about their child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Thank you, Aaron. Sorry, Diana. Just sort myself out and turn myself on. Good morning. The space invaders are here. Okay, I've been warned that the mince pies are on, and if I take too long, they will burn. So you have a choice, mince pies or the Word of God. We'll see. You can have if you've got a burnt mince pie, you can say, "Yeah, but the message was worth it." I hope. Heavenly Father, I do pray that the message is worth it. I pray that you will speak to us through the shepherd's encounter of Jesus. Help us all to understand more the incredible events that happened all those years ago. Amen. Well, we've looked at the story from Elizabeth's point of view and Mary's point of view and Joseph's point of view. And today we've come to the shepherds. It's really interesting having these different points of view, these different perspectives of the Christmas story. I think as we do, I hope you've seen the similarities, but also the differences. And you can learn from them so much more about, when you've got eyewitnesses, all sorts of different things happen, but you need to put them all together to get the full story. And Luke knows this. In Luke 1, 1 to 4, he talks about finding eyewitness accounts of what happened and carefully investigating and setting it all down in an orderly fashion. I expect he interviewed Mary. I expect he found the shepherds or maybe their relatives and talk to them to find out what actually happened. Our reading starts with the shepherds doing their usual thing, living out in the fields near Bethlehem, watching over their flocks. What are shepherds like? Well, they're living out in the fields, so they're dirty, they're probably smelly. And some of them would have done bad things. They had a poor reputation. They were despised by some. Maybe they were invisible people, living on the edge of society, but providing an essential role. They bring the food to eat and the firstborn lambs for temple sacrifice. And here we find them maybe sitting around a campfire, keeping warm, we don't know, sharing stories about their day. Luke doesn't tell us, but whatever they were doing, there was a sudden and unexpected interruption. An angel of the Lord appears, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. There's no description of the angel. There's a lot of this story, there's no description. I'm going to fill a lot in from my imagination, or from hopefully to help, but I'll let you know that it's me. We don't know what the glory of the Lord looked like. Maybe it was in the form of light, or the truth shone through, or maybe they could sense perfect love. I like to think all three together. And having the glory of God shining around them would have exposed their failings. They would have known that they were not worthy. No wonder they were terrified. But this visit wasn't about punishing them. The angel tried to calm them down. Do not be afraid. I'm here to bring good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. The shepherds' hearts must have burst. The town of David, well, that's Bethlehem. You know, you can see it in the distance. A baby's been born that's the Saviour, the Messiah, the Lord. They would have known that he was the one that had been sent to save Israel, to free them from their sins, to free them from the tyranny of the Romans, to lovingly rule over them forever. This is fantastic news. But some of the words would have confused them. You will find a baby. You know, it's saying, go and visit this Saviour. Why would this announcement and request be given to them? Poor, ordinary shepherds. Surely the angel should be telling the chief priests or the governor, important people that could broadcast this good news. Not lowly shepherds who are on the edge of society, who many people don't even like. And the other confusing bit was the baby. It's going to be wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. A manger? A feeding trough for animals? You wouldn't put a vulnerable newborn baby in a manger. And certainly not the new Saviour, the Lord and the Messiah. That sounds kind of disrespectful and negligent. I don't know if the shepherds were about to ask these big questions, but before they could open their mouths, something amazing happened. Something else amazing, it's already amazing. Heaven opened and out poured a great company of angels, filling the sky, and they were praising God. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests. This is very different from the other angel visits in the Christmas story. They're all one-to-one or in a dream. But here, the angel brings the message, and then heaven opens. Angels pour out and God's praises are sung. This is a serious underlining of the message. The shepherds, they're going to forget their questions. This is, you know, it's spectacular confirmation of the message. There'd be no doubt that it was from God. And as the angels go, there's silence that follows. And the shepherds say, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. There's no doubt here. Their hearts have been stirred and they hurry off to Bethlehem. Now I've got a question here. Was this all of them? The song we sang actually said about leaving their sheep on the rocky mountains or something like that. Did they? Did they leave one behind? In some ways, I hope they didn't. I hope they all went to experience the new Saviour. We don't know. And the shepherds, they go, and they find Mary and Joseph and the baby in a room, probably beneath the house, where animals are usually kept. An ordinary scene in an unusual place. A poor young couple, probably tired, probably apprehensive as any new parents are likely to be, probably wondering what God has in store for this baby. And the baby wrapped in cloths, which was the custom at the time. It shows the baby was being looked after properly. But as the angels had said, the baby was in a manger. Now, every picture we see of the baby in the manger has a bright light on it, or a halos, or all sorts of things like that. This is the best I could find. I suspect it was quite a dimly lit state. Dimly lit room. And the baby was there. But there wasn't a light coming from heaven on this baby, I don't think. And into this scene, the shepherds enter. I think quietly. Maybe feeling sheepish. Sorry, had to put that in. It's a serious scene, isn't it? It's the shepherds are coming in. Is this true? What are we going to see? They explained to Mary and Joseph what they'd seen and heard, an important extra confirmation for the couple about what's going on. Then they gaze on the baby, their saviour, their Messiah, their Lord. Maybe too, wondering what lies ahead for this baby, what lies ahead for us at this remarkable time. And the experience obviously changes the hearts of the shepherds. They go out and they spread the word concerning what's been told them about the child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. I don't know who. They lived nearby, so maybe they had family and went to them. Maybe they had friends. Maybe anyone they saw. Maybe they burst into the inn and said, "Oh, you never guess what I've just seen." Who knows? But they really, as Diana said in the quiz, they spread the word. And then they returned glorifying and praising God because he had been trustworthy and everything was exactly as they had been told. Incredible, incredible story. What can we learn from that story? Well, it's all about Jesus. The whole Christmas story is about Jesus. The shepherds could have talked about angels and messages from God, a young couple they met in Bethlehem, but the real wonder for them was this baby, the saviour that would go on to change the world. And we know John 3:16, God so loved the world he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That's speaking of the mission of this baby. The Son of God has left the glory of heaven and become a weak, vulnerable baby, dependent on young parents, finding a resting place in a manger. And we know he grows up. He brings great teaching. He shows us how to love as God loves. He challenges the religious authorities. And ultimately, he dies on the cross for our sins, but he doesn't stay in the grave. He rises again, showing he has power over death and sin and giving us the chance of eternal life. And if you haven't experienced the love of God, the love of Jesus, if you haven't known his freedom from sin and shame, if you haven't accepted the promise of eternal life, I beg you this Christmas, focus on the truth. Focus on the significance of this birth. But remember the miracle of his death and resurrection. They come together. And all this is because God loves you and wants you to come to him and accept that love. This story is all about Jesus. My second point is God uses ordinary people. If you remember last week, Chris was talking about the significance of Jesus being born to a poor family, an ordinary family. And it comes out again this week. God announces his son's birth to poor, lowly shepherds. Ordinary people doing ordinary things. They weren't holy, particularly holy, or important, or religious. And the angel made the most significant announcement ever to them. Jesus Christ has been born. And the ordinary shepherds were the first to visit the new baby, filling them with joy, so they spread the news and worship God. Why? Why did Jesus use ordinary people? Well, in 1 Corinthians 1:27 to 29, Paul says, there we go. Hope it's big enough. God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. He chooses to use the foolish so that they don't boast, I did this. They say, thank you, God, you use me, this poor, foolish shepherd. And I don't know if you feel ordinary or not particularly holy or important or religious. Doesn't matter. God wants to use you in remarkable ways to further his kingdom, to bring peace and joy and love to the people of Great Shelford and way beyond. Will you let him? Will you surrender your fears and remember what Paul says in Philippians 4:13? I can do all things through him who gives me strength. He gives us the strength to do the work he calls us to do. It's great being an ordinary person. And God chooses to use us ordinary people. My final point David, can you do the transition? Thank you. Obedience leads to blessing, which turns to worship. As soon as the angels left left them, the shepherds hurried off as they'd been instructed to. There's no doubt they just went. And this obedience led to an incredible blessing for them, meeting the Son of God before anybody else did. Sharing an intimate moment with Joseph and Mary. What joy must have filled their hearts. And it turned to worship. You know, they spread the word and then they went home worshipping God and praising him. Psalm 128 verse 1 says, blessed are those who fear the Lord, who walk in obedience to him. If you're obedient, there's a blessing. And I believe that if we obey the Lord, we will experience blessings. That does not mean we will become rich or famous or successful in worldly terms. Remember that. But as we surrender to him, we are transformed. We experience his presence in our daily lives. We see his kingdom grow. That's blessings. And the response to these blessings can't be, I did that. If we remember the reading in 1 Corinthians that we looked at, he chose to use the foolish so that no one can boast before him. And we respond by remembering we're not worthy, but God still uses us. He cares about us. God still walks with us. And this naturally has to turn to worship. We're an unworthy lot, but we are blessed by God. Let's respond with worship. I'm going to say a prayer and then we're going to carry on our worship. Heavenly Father, we praise you. We thank you for the good things that you've given to us. The blessing of that baby 2,000 years ago. the opportunity that it gives us to live the life you want us to live, to have an eternal future. But Lord, we're astonished that right now you choose to use us, ordinary people. And we praise you that you do. Help us to worship you with real joy in our hearts because of the blessings you've given to us. Amen. Amen.
Can you hear me? Hello. The last two lines of the next song, "O come to my heart, Lord Jesus, there is room in my heart for thee." Let us stand together.
Joseph and Mary, and and the peace of the Christ child be yours this Christmas. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen. Amen. Do stay and join us for coffee and partake of your mince pies.